The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus and his disciples went into the region of Judea, where he spent some time with them baptizing. John was also baptizing in Annon near Salim, because there was an abundance of water there, and people came to be baptized. For John had not yet been imprisoned. Now a dispute arose between the disciples of John and a Jew about ceremonial washings. So they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, the one who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you testified, here he is baptizing, and everyone is coming to him." John answered and said, "No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said that I am not the Christ, but that I was sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The best man who stands and listens to him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made complete. He must increase, and I must decrease." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The disciples of John knew he was a very holy man and deeply admired him, and they were zealous for him. I mean, in the sense that they didn't want any competition, because it's their team, you know, how we get into that mode. So it would have been very easy, obviously, for John to go along, you know, and put himself in an important position. But John was truly a holy man, and it was not all about himself. It was about God, the truth. And so he says, "My joy is complete, recognizing the one who is, and seeing that people are going to him now and not to me." Now, that seems so simple, and yet in actual practice, for even Christians, that is amazingly hard. And we do that with communities and movements, you know. They should come to my community, and they should be part of us, and we are in this subtle competition as Christians all the time. And that really impairs our way of union to God, because we become incapacitated to see the gifts that God is bestowing outside our little domain. And we get a very distorted view of reality, the spiritual reality. So the Lord is calling us to be like John the Baptist, to recognize the Lord and not be zealous about our own little group and what God has done, but appreciate the gifts that we have received, and also appreciate the gifts that others have received in the context of the universal reality, which is only Christ himself, from whom all gifts come, and whom we want everyone to go to and come to know and adore. And it's amazing how even in people who are very much in the church for a long time and know the faith, jealousy is real. But when we fall into it, we ourselves don't recognize it. We just cover it up with something else. You know, I don't like this person because we sort of make something up in our subconscious to not want to be near that person. But if we came into self-knowledge, we would know, you know what it is? I'm just jealous of that person because they have a gift or they have something that I don't have. And I found that in myself in prayer. One time when I was a pastor, I found myself, I was praying to the Lord to give me the gift to draw people to the parish. And I really thought, you know, I was doing it, you know, for the Lord. And I wanted people to come to know the Lord and come into a new life in Christ. And so I think it's a good thing for a pastor to pray that all the people will come to the church. And I asked the Lord, give me the gift of being able to preach to the people. And I heard the Lord then tell me, is it okay if I receive your prayer and bestow this gift in the neighboring pastor? And I realized I didn't like the idea. I wanted the gift for myself, and I wanted people to come to my parish. Never mind the other parish, you know. And then I realized, well, is it really that I want people to come to know the Lord and come to fullness, or that I want my parish to be the greatest and the best, and you know, everybody is gathered here in my parish? And I saw that reality. So the Lord called me from that day on to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit of preaching for all the pastors that were around my parish. And I found it hard. It's not a prayer that I did with enthusiasm. It didn't come from my gut. It had to come from the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? I said, wow. You know, it's so real that we are like that. We have these fantasies. And I mean, look at John the Baptist. You know, he said, I must decrease, he must increase. And he says, this makes me happy. But look in the end, what happened? John the Baptist, we're talking about him 2,000 years later, because he took his rightful place, and now he's the greatest man. He would not have been otherwise. So we have to decrease for the Lord to increase, and then the Lord increases us and puts us in his place. You know, faithful servant, come. You know, you've done right way. And in the first reading today, which is also from John the Evangelist, there's a very interesting teaching here that is where the teaching of mortal sin and venial sin comes from, where he makes this distinction between the deadly sin and the sin that is not deadly. And one, he says, we pray for, and the other, we don't. And why not? What he's saying is not that we don't pray for repentance. We should pray for the people mortal sin to repent. But we cannot pray is that while they are in mortal sin, that they be forgiven and that they be all right. It's not going to happen. So what we have to pray is for repentance to get out of mortal sin, you see? So the same thing then, if they die in mortal sin, there is no prayer that is going to save them, because if you die in mortal sin, you're going to hell. But if you die with venial sin, then you do pray, because that person is in purgatory, and our prayers will help them to speed their way to heaven. So it's right there in John, first letter of John, chapter 5, 14. If anyone sees his brother sinning, if the sin is not deadly, he should pray to God, and he will give him life. This is only for those whose sin is not deadly. There's such a thing as a deadly sin, about which I do not say that you should pray. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that is not deadly. Well, now, if we love the Lord, we don't want to sin anyway, deadly or not deadly. We just don't, you know, it's not like I don't care about offending Charlie as long as I don't break the relationship with him. Is that love? You know, as long as I don't break the relationship, you know, it's okay if I slander him, or, you know, that's not love. You know, if you love, you say, I don't want to hurt him in any way. You know, it's not enough just not to break the relationship. I don't want to offend him. I love him. I want to always be one in communion with him. Well, how much more with God? We should really desire never to offend the Lord in any way. So let us present to the Lord our petitions.